So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Welcome to WTIC's Pet Talk. Today, Lori Fast takes your pet behavior questions. This is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, or star WTIC from your cell phone if you have AT&T Wireless. And now, Pet Talk.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Pet Talk. You're listening to Lori Fass on this behavior edition of the show. But, you know, we can talk about all different kinds of things. And if you have a question or something you want to share that you think would be valuable for people to hear, I'm always all ears. And if you want to get in on the show today, the numbers are 860-522-WTIC. Or if you'd like to ask me a question or let me know something and you don't want to call in and be on the air, you can contact me off the air. And the easiest way to do that is to check my website, which is LoriFassDogTraining.com. So I think a lot of us are getting pretty fed up with the weather these days, especially after that horrible ice storm. And I am not a hot weather person. So as far as I'm concerned, there really isn't any winter day that is worse than some horribly hot summer day. But the ice kind of has me not so happy. My backyard looks like some kind of, I don't know, crazy, freakish ice capades out there. And my youngest dog, who loves to play frisbee, isn't going to get to play frisbee because there's really no safe place to throw the frisbee. I mean, he would chase it. If I threw it, he would absolutely chase it. But I'm not willing to take a chance on him slipping or getting his foot caught in some ice lump or something like that. So he's going to have to wait a while. And so all of this weather pondering kind of made me think about Groundhog Day and what's up with Punxsutawney Phil and his predictions. I guess Groundhog Day is February 2nd. And so I wanted to see, you know, I mean, he's cute. People like to watch Punxsutawney Phil and the little, you know, the people and the celebrations. And I guess in Manchester, we have our own little groundhog chuckles from Manchester, Connecticut. So what is up with Groundhog Day? They take this little groundhog and put him out and see if he sees his shadow. And if he sees his shadow, then that means there's 6 more weeks of winter. And I'm not really sure how that works. So I wanted to see what, if there was any accuracy to this. So I looked up what is Punxsutawney Phil's accuracy. He's the most famous one. He's where Groundhog Day began in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. So that's why he's the most famous one. Because apparently people do this with groundhogs all over the place. And some of the groundhogs that they use in some of these locations are actually taxidermied groundhogs, which is even weirder. But be that as it may, Punxsutawney's Phil, his accuracy is about 36%, which is pretty bad. So basically what that says to me is if he says one thing, whatever is the opposite is most likely to happen. So it's just statistically speaking. But then I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute. Weather patterns typically in New England, but lately really all over the country, are so bizarre. We could have, we have spring. It's an early spring. Isn't that nice? And then a week later, we've got some glacial ice storm happening. So what do you mean early spring? Is that like permanently we're getting rid of cold weather, or is this a little bit of spring and then haha, sucker, not so much? I really don't know. But, you know, I was hoping that maybe Punxsutawney Phil would have something good to share. But I'm beginning to think there's just really a silly, fun tradition. I mean, most people who like animals are going to be, he's cute, right? Groundhogs are cute. I have a groundhog that lives under my front stairs, and I don't have a garden. I mostly just have weeds because I don't treat my lawn. So I have these weird big leaf weeds, you know, those ones that have the stocky seed thing. And the groundhog loves to eat that. So I'm good with that. He wants to eat the weeds. That's fine. But in any case, just so you know, there are a lot more accurate groundhogs. You can actually Google search this, where you can see how accurate are all the groundhogs that people take out on Groundhog Day. But I think that our meteorologists are probably more accurate than the groundhog. As much as I would like to be in favor of the groundhog, I hate to say it, but the meteorologists really haven't beat. So I don't know, you know, three more weeks from now is when six, because February 2nd was about 3 weeks ago. So we're right in the middle of the, you know, Punxsutawney Phil, whatever he's predicting. I think he saw his shadow. So presumably in three more weeks, spring will come. But 6 weeks from February 2nd is March 16th. And technically, official spring starts on March 20th. Did I say May? March. Okay. So that's only four more days. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm just hoping this ice goes away and melts. And I mean, some of the parking lots that I, you know, you're going shopping or you're going to into a building, people are putting down so much salt that that is crazy looking. That's even crazier looking than the ice. I suppose less dangerous. But, you know, if you're concerned about your dog slipping on ice, you just have to be careful now with them getting all this junk in their feet. So I think I've said this before, but you can very easily rinse their feet off by just getting a little container. They sell these things that are, you know, a little more fancy, and they have like these little rubber flaps that cover the top. So they're supposed to wipe off the feet better. But in actuality, if you just take some little container, fill it with water, and maybe a couple drops of baby shampoo, because baby shampoo is very mild, and having a little bit of baby shampoo makes the water absorb better, and so it works better to rinse things off. And since it's very mild, if you're not using a lot, you really don't even have to rinse it. So you just dip their foot in there, swish it a little all around, wipe it off, and there you go, okay? But with all this junk on the roads, if you're taking your dog for a walk and you're not running across ice, you're probably running across some kind of horrible salt. And so you're going to have to clean that off too. I was working outside this morning with a dog, and he's funny. He's about 10 months old. He was a mix between a Cane Corso and a pit bull. He's kind of a big boy. He had a big, gigantic meatball-looking head. But, you know, he was not real happy with the weather. But, you know, a lot of dogs don't care, as I've discussed before. You know, Siberian Huskies or German Shepherds, dogs like that, they don't care about this weather. But whether they do or they don't care, you want to get that junk off their feet. So anyway, that's my rant on Groundhog Day and salt and bad weather. So I think we're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back. Hello. and welcome back to Pet Talk on WTIC. You're listening to Lori Fast today, and this is the behavior edition of the show, although I was going off on a tangent on Groundhog Day before the break. But if you'd like to call in and you have a question or something that you want to share, it's good to call in sooner than later. And the numbers here are 860-522-WTIC. And as always, if you want to talk to me, but you don't want to be on the radio or you don't have access to something immediately, you can check my website, LoriFastDogTraining.com, and you can get all my contact information from there. So before the break, I was just complaining about the ice and the salt and the inaccuracy of Punxsutawney Phil. And as I'm thinking of this during the break, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, it'll be nice when all this ice melts. But after all the ice melts, if you have pets and you have a backyard, the next thing you've got is mud. And I know that my yard will be a mud pie when this is done. But what I have discovered over the years on a tip from another dog person is that you can use straw and you can use hay. There's different types of hay. Some hay is meant for, you know, feeding horses, and I guess rabbits like hay. But salt hay is the hay that you would use more for ground cover, and straw is very absorbent, so it really works extremely well. And some people are a little hesitant, thinking they're going to have, you know, all these straw bits. Well, I'm here to tell you, it does last for a while. It really does cover those areas of your yard that are just, you know, the dog tracks back and forth, and you can either pave it over or you can put some straw or hay. But over the years that I have done this, I would have to think about, you know, how many bales of hay I've actually put out there. But it would certainly be conservative to say that I have put 50 bales or more of straw and hay. And you would never know that because it has biodegraded and become part of the soil. So the soil that's in my backyard is actually probably healthier soil than the soil that's in my front yard, which is a lot more hard and clay-like. But, you know, it does. If you have like a divot in your yard that collects water, or you have, you know, there's certain paths that dogs like to run back and forth by the fence, or, you know, straight down the back of your yard. And those are the areas that are going to wear down the grass, get all mudded up. And as soon as the snow melts, it's going to be a big mess. But if you add that, it really does. When somebody told me this, it seemed like really simple. But I was a little, I don't know if I do that. But I started doing it, and I've been doing it every year since, and it really, really does work great. So the only problem is that I live in kind of a suburban area, so I usually go to Stonehedge, which is a landscaping place, but there aren't as many choices of where to get the straw and the hay, because, you know, if I was a little more rural or if I had a big truck and I could drive a little more. But that's the only limitation. But I do strongly recommend that. And with that thought, we're going to go to Tammy. Hi, Tammy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm doing well, and I'm glad to call in today to ask you. I've got a Corgi Terrier mix dog. And she's about 4 years old, and I've recently gone back to work 3 days a week around last September, and her separation anxiety has gotten extremely destructive. We've tried using some medication from the vet, but it hasn't helped.
Okay, can you tell me, when you say she's destructive, can you tell me specifically what things she's destroying?
She's destroyed a lot. Basically, anything that's wood. But she's also ripped the sheetrock off the walls. You know, ripped right through it, peeled it right down, chewed through moldings.
Okay. Are these? Do you have her in a room, or where is she when you're not home?
She's got run of the house, and so mainly this is near the doors, the front door and the back door.
Okay. And how old was she when you got her?
I think she's about 6 weeks. She's a COVID dog. We got her back in 2020.
Okay. And when you initially got her And maybe you were home more, but when you left her alone, where did you leave her when she was a puppy?
Same situation. She had the house. We also had a second older dog at the time, so she did have, you know, a mate.
The answer that are the question I'm trying to get answered is, was she ever confined in a crate or a room, or did she have some space that you put her in? It sounds like no, she never did.
Right. Correct.
Okay. So when you first got her, she had always somebody or something to keep her company.
Right. Most times. Yeah.
Okay. So what would happen if when you were home, you took her and you put her in a room and closed the door? What would she do?
Well, I think the only times we did, my husband says she barked. She barked to try to get out.
Okay. All right. And I'm going to jump around a little bit here. And if we run over, because it's a little challenging to do this on the air, because I don't want to, you know, take the whole show up asking questions, but mm-hmm. I do need certain answers to certain types of questions. So if we get down to the bottom of the hour and we have to take a break, would you be willing to be put on hold?
Oh, sure.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not going to happen for another 6 minutes, but 6 minutes goes by fast sometimes. Okay. So the next question is, what medication did you have her on?
Oh, I don't have it in front of me. It's something like, Tirazidol or something with
Trazodone?
That sounds good. Yep.
Okay. All right. Okay. So there's certain types of medications that I would consider to be, and again, this is not my area of expertise, but I want to at least cover this. And this is something maybe you could even call in next week, talk to Dr. Dennis. But Trazodone, I would put in the category of like more like a tranquilizer. It takes effect immediately and it kind of knocks a dog out to some degree. And then there are another category of drugs that are more like anti-anxiety drugs that take longer to actually kick in. They might not actually work for until a week or two of the dog taking them. And one of them is called Clomicon. Did you ever hear of that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So dogs that have separation anxiety issues, if we're going to try medication, you're probably better off with something like that. So I wouldn't throw that into the trash as far as, you know, medication doesn't work because you tried Trazodone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Clomicon is one. And there's another one that is like a Prozac. It might even be Prozac. I don't know. But in general, I have found that dogs that are put onto that category of drug do much better than dogs that are just, I'm going to call it tranquilized. Okay.
Okay. That makes sense.
All right. Okay. But again, keeping in mind that it might take a little while to kick in. Now, what is your dog's name?
Sunny.
Well, that's really important. I have to know that. Okay. So anyway, if you're home with Sunny, does Sunny follow you all around?
Sometimes very much so. And in addition to her destructiveness increasing, even when we're home, a lot of times she's whining, as you might be able to hear her now, and she is following us. And that's increased over the last few weeks as well.
Okay. Well, I was just before you called complaining about the weather and talking about the weather. Are you taking her out less and walking her and exercising her less because of that?
Yeah. I mean, we take her out as often, but not for the walks aren't as long.
Yeah, I hear your husband in the background saying, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because, I mean, my mini Aussie who likes to play Frisbee, he's going nuts right now because, you know, there's no way I'm going to play Frisbee with him with the ground the way it is. It's going to hurt him. And he'd play it even if he, you know, was hurt. He'd drag himself along trying to get the Frisbee. So getting more exercise is going to help, but I would try to, just from a behavior point of view, try to practice staying away from her, even if you have to lock yourself in a room.
Because
sometimes you lock the dog in the room. Okay. But if you have to go in the bedroom and just lock your dog out of the room, okay. The other thing that you can do is practice some training with her, because training has a way of kind of settling a dog's mind, like dog meditation, let's just say. And I would recommend you do that with the dog wearing a leash. Okay. So for example, if you say sit and you say stay, if your dog is not doing it, you can take the leash and physically get your dog to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As opposed to just using a treat, which, you know, if your dog wants it or doesn't want it, I mean, I'm not saying don't use a treat, but I find that if you're actually physically positioning her that that tends to work a little better. So if you can practice sit and stay or down stay, I don't even care which, and then practice having her do stay and move a little bit away from her, having her do stay, duck around the corner, have her do stay, and work it up to, you know, especially if it's a down stay, have her do it for maybe 10 minutes.
Wow.
Do you think you could get her to do that?
Oh, I think that will take a whole lot of effort, but I will try.
Okay, because if you can get her to do a, you know, even if you have to put her back, and even if the, during the 10 minutes you had to put her back 8 times, just the fact of getting her to do it and making her do it will help calm her down.
Okay.
Because she has to think, okay, I'm supposed to stay. Wait a minute. Oh, I got up. Oh, no, I got to stay. I got to stay. And if she's just rattling around, getting nervous, she's not getting enough exercise, and she's not used to being alone, you know, all of those things are contributing to it. And as long as you brought it up, just for the listening audience, one of the skill sets that people sometimes fail to practice with their dogs is the ability to be alone. So had you known that when you first got her and she had company all the time, and that's great, and I'm sure she loves that, but it's important that dogs learn how to be alone.
Interesting, yeah.
So anyway, so you can start practicing those things by just, you know, you lock yourself, you get a crate, jump in the crate, close the door. No, but go in the bedroom, go someplace else, you know, try to just get her to not constantly be following you, and then use the training, and then investigate some of the other medications, because I'm not sure that trazodone would be my first pick. And again, that's not my area of expertise, but okay, do you think that answered your question for the most part?
Absolutely. That was very helpful. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling. And we're going to, I don't have to put you on hold. We can just go to the break.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling. Take care now.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hello, and Welcome back to WTIC's Pet Talk. You're listening to Lori Fast today, and this is the behavior edition of the show. I'm here till 2, so if you want to call in, I'd love to hear from you, and the numbers are 860-522-WTIC. And if you want to talk to me, but you can't get to the phone or you don't want to be on the radio, just check my website, LoriFassDogTraining.com. So I love looking things up online, and sometimes I get myself in trouble. I think we all do, trying to find, you know, the solution to something, or God forbid you have to have a medical procedure and then you want to know all about it, which I don't really recommend you do. I needed a root canal. Well, you know, root canals are scary enough as it is. After checking it out on the internet of every single thing that could go wrong, it just makes it much worse. But, you know, I mean, if you want to know things like where did Groundhog Day originate from, you know, who's Punxsutawney Phil? Yeah, okay, that's good. You know, you want to learn more about it, you just go on Google or whatever search engine you choose, and you can just look that stuff right up, which I do on a regular basis. And as a result of that, I end up in places that I'm not even really sure how I got there. And one of the things that took me down a primrose path here is I saw an article about, it said, Donald Trump now has a robot dog. And I go, okay, yeah, I definitely got to read this. Now, I knew that Donald Trump was one of 3 presidents who never had pets. So, you know, think about all the presidents we've had over the years. And not only have they had pets, they've had a lot of pets in some cases. But I wanted to see, what are we talking about here, a robot dog? So apparently at Mar-a-Lago, and again, I don't know how true this is, just getting it off the internet, there is now a robot dog who's acting as security and patrolling around the property. And the way that this was explained, according to the article, is the robot dog is sort of like a drone. It's more like a camera. I don't think it has any particular military capabilities that I know of. I think I've seen other videos where, you know, robots actually are armed. I don't think this dog is armed. In fact, I don't even know really why it's shaped to look like a dog. It, you know, has kind of a head and 4 legs and, you know, sort of looks like a dog, but I mean, it doesn't have a mouth that opens and closes. So I think it's just, it could look like a spider, or, you know, it could look like anything and still do the same job. So I have no idea, you know, why this is being used or how effective it is, which led me to, and again, I can't give you details here, but that's what the internet is for if you want to look into it. Apparently, there's a security police dog in Boston named Spot. And I have, again, have no idea how effective this is, how much it's utilized, if this is just some prototype that they've looked into. But to be honest with you, I did cover in one of my previous shows quite some time ago about how I had some concerns with police dogs being sent out after armed criminals. You know, if a dog is out chasing after somebody, which they will willingly and gladly do, the likelihood of them being stabbed or shot is pretty high. And so if you could have a robot dog do this instead, it'd probably be a good idea. And I don't know how practical that is at all, but it got me thinking about just robot pets in general. And of course, you know, once you get on that track of looking things up, one thing leads to another. So I wanted to know, are there robot pets for people? And of course, there are all sorts of robot pets. And some of them are just really, I don't know if I'd call them robots, because to me, a robot is more something that's walking around and, you know, kind of sort of imitates the movement of whatever the animal is. And there are definitely little robot cats and robot dogs that you can remote control. But there are also robot, if you want to call them that, animated cats and dogs that are very fluffy and furry, and they respond to being pet. So if you're petting the robot cat, it will blink its eyes and it'll purr. It might turn its head, and the little robot dog makes little sounds and lifts its paw up and does all these kinds of things. And one of the videos that I came across online was sharing how these little animated fur pets are being distributed to people in nursing homes. And, you know, of course, they probably didn't show the curmudgeonly person saying, "What the heck is this? Get this out of my face." But the ones that they were showing, "Oh, look how cute. It's so comforting. I love having this." And, you know, I probably like having one of these things, if I'm going to be honest. But if you have a child who wants a pet, and maybe you don't want the responsibility of a pet, because when Donald Trump was asked, "Welcome, why don't you have a dog?" His answer was he doesn't have time for it, which, you know, I think is a pretty good answer. But a lot of times children want to have a pet. And if you don't have the resources, the time, the energy or whatever, maybe one of these little animated robots. Pets might be a good idea. You don't have to worry about feeding them. You don't have to worry about a lot of things. I suppose eventually anything that's electronic can fail or go bad or something like that. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the robot they have at Stop and Shop. I think that robot's name is Marty. And I remember when they first got it, it was zooming up and down the aisles and a cleanup in aisle 3. And it was like, if somebody dropped a napkin, it was a cleanup on aisle 3. And this thing was zooming all around, and if it sensed you, it would back away. But it like very obnoxious. I think it's still very obnoxious. Only what I've noticed with this Marty the robot from Stop and Shop is that it seems to be getting robot dementia or something. I don't know. It was in the produce aisle, and it was going up against the counter, the display in the middle, back to an aisle, and kind of going around in circles. It wasn't, it was like, you know, the robot just finally had it with bumping into things and having to recalculate where it's going. So, I mean, that could happen to your robot pet is what I'm saying. But, you know, if that happens, you can just get another robot pet. It's not like, I mean, I suppose you could get really attached to your particular robot pet, but somehow I just don't think it's quite the same thing. You know, if you have a dog and it dies, you're not going to be able to replace it with exactly the same thing, even if you clone it, because there have been people that have cloned their pets. I think Barbara Streisand cloned one of her dogs, and I think it was to the tune of something like $300,000. And even if you clone a pet, it isn't exact. It's not really an exact replica, because in the process of developing as a dog, there are a lot of things that are up for random that aren't necessarily just purely genetic. So, but anyway, if you have a child who's crying they want a pet and you don't want the responsibility, you can get them a robot pet. That's what I'm saying. So anyway, I think we need to go to a break, and we'll be right back. Hello, and welcome back to Pet Talk on WTIC. You're listening to Lori Fass on this behavior edition of the show. I'm here for the next, 12 minutes or so. So if you want to call in and ask me a question or share something, you can. And the numbers are 860-522-WTIC. So that's 860-522-9842. And before the break, I was talking about presidential pets and that Donald Trump never had a pet, but he has a robot dog patrolling Mar-a-Lago. And I was talking about getting robot pets for your children. And it's funny because our producer, Kevin, he got excited about some nostalgic memory back in the 90s. He had a robot dog named Poochie the robot dog, and he came in here, he showed me a picture of it. I don't know if they still have those available to buy, but a lot of those sort of animatronic, robot-like pets or toys or what have you have been kind of redone. I know that happened with Furby, so I don't know if Poochie the robot dog specifically is available, but Kevin definitely endorses it. He said he had fun with it. So if you just are like a big grown-up kid and just want to play around with robot animals, you can do that. Or, you know, if you have a child, that'd be a great gift. For, you know, they, instead of having an actual dog, you can give them that. So anyway, when I was looking up the Donald Trump robot dog to see whether or not that actually was true or it was some kind of crazy left field thing. I was looking at all of the different presidential pets and things that people have had over the years. And apparently presidents have had some pretty interesting animals. Theodore Roosevelt had 40 pets. And I'm thinking, okay, we got to look further into this. What kind of pets did he have? Well, apparently he had a number of dogs and birds and two cats and seven birds, I guess, 12 dogs. He had two raccoons. I believe he had some horses. And so that's a lot of pets. I thought I had a lot of pets, but no, I guess he takes the cake there. And Calvin Coolidge had 24 dogs. George Washington had 20 pets. And JFK had 19 pets. Again, a lot of pets there. But with JFK, he had horses, he had birds, dogs, cats, guinea pigs, and rabbits. So, you know, they're little pets. You can get a few more of those in there. But I remember, you know, I was talking about the German shepherds that Joe Biden had. And the topic of the conversation when I brought it up were they weren't very well behaved and they were biting people and he had to get them out of the White House. So some of these animals that were owned by some of the presidents over the years apparently did not live at the White House per se, which is probably a good idea in some cases. But it's really interesting to see, you know, what kind of animals they had. And it seems like in the past, there were different types of animals. Apparently, John Quincy Adams had a pet alligator. And I'm not sure if it was living in the White House or not. That was a little bit sketchy to me. But I do remember, one thing that I was watching on the news. There was a news clip with George W. Bush, who had, well, his father, H.W. Bush, had Springer Spaniels. And Millie was one of their Springer Spaniels that Barbara Bush wrote a book about. And he had one of those dogs' offspring. But then he also had Scottish Terriers. And I remember seeing a little news clip where he was in the garden with his Scottish Terriers. And it was so funny because he was trying to call the dogs over to him. And I don't remember their names. But, you know, here, boy, come on over here. And the little Scottish Terrier did not give a hoot that he was the president and calling him because he was much too busy peeing on a bush or doing whatever he wanted to do. But anyway, okay, so we have Sherry. Hi, Sherry.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I missed the beginning of the show, but my question, not behavior so much, you talked about ice and snow.
Yes.
And I have a two-and-a-half-year-old shepherd who obviously has not been out to chase his frisbee in a week.
Yeah.
So how do I kind of get him back slowly?
Well, you're just going to have this snow that we have right now is weird snow because usually as it starts to melt or even if there is snow, my dog who likes to play frisbee, if there's snow, I'll still throw it. So he has to jump through the snow. He has to work harder. The problem is you're going to have to watch out for the slipperiness because as it's slippery, if he's chasing a frisbee, he could very easily slide and hurt himself. And so the fact of the matter is from a safety point of view, I would not throw a frisbee as long as that top ground is slippery like that. And how long is that going to take to melt? I don't know. But the weather forecast for the week coming up is we're getting a high 40s. There's some days that are forecast to be low 50s. And if we have enough of those days, then we're just going to have to deal with mud. Okay. But mud you can wash off. But if he's trying to chase a frisbee and jumping around and he hits, you know, some ice slick and he loses his footing and his, you know, back leg goes out funny, you could end up with, you know, a surgery to repair the damage that he did. And so it's well worth him having to suck it up, and we're not going to play frisbee for right now. because if he gets injured, it's just not worth it. So, you know, you're looking at, you know, a week or two of sorry, no Frisbee. So you might just have to come up with other types of games, maybe play in the house. I try to throw things up and down the stairs, you know, and my dog will go for it for a little bit, but it's not Frisbee. So
yeah, we have a path about 10 feet. Oh, maybe 10 yards long on the deck, but it's a straight path, so yeah. it loses its appeal
right.
fairly quickly. Yeah, I don't want to get him hurt,
yeah,
but
I think
what else would I could do? I can walk
him. Well, does he like to play tug?
Yeah.
Okay, so you could play tug. You could try and throw something back and forth on the deck. You could try to play a game where, does he like treats?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so you could try to play a game where you hide the treat and have him find it. So the way you do that is at first you make it like really easy. You know, you have him see you put the treat down and then you tell him to find it. And you do that enough times that when you tell him to find it, he knows that it's there. And then you make it a little harder and a little harder and a little harder. And with my dog, if I'm having him try to find something, I'll even say to him, nope, 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 nope. Yeah, good. Warmer, yeah. Nope. And so I give him little hints sometimes, but he has figured out that when I'm saying nope, 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 that he's, you know, it's like the hot and cold game.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he likes treats and you hide them and have him find it, it'll give him something to do mentally. It's not the same as running like that, but it's just not worth taking a risk, you know. Just isn't.
Yeah, because we have a place. It's finally getting softer in the backyard, but it's only where the sun is.
Yeah.
So he went farther and like, oh, I can hear the ice again.
Yeah.
But where I'm standing, it's fine. But yeah,
right.
So I guess.
Well, I mean, if you have an area of the yard and you're pretty good at throwing it in that area, you could just do it there. But just be very mindful because honestly, this type of ice is just extremely dangerous for everybody. And, you know, it's just a really good way for dogs to get hurt. I had a caller that would call me multiple times telling me that, in his opinion, playing Frisbee is dangerous, period. Which, you know, I mean, a lot of things are, you know, you're taking a risk doing anything. Waking up is dangerous. But if you're doing this on a surface like that, yeah, I think it is dangerous. And so, it'll be gone before you know it. So, you know, unfortunately, your dog and my dog, they could probably have a conference call complaining about it. But it's just not worth it, you know. It just
Mom, I don't have anything to do.
Yeah, and then we had a caller earlier who was talking about her dog having separation anxiety, and I was suggesting that she do some training. And training is a good way to occupy a dog's mind. So it's not as fun as like Frisbee, but you know, it is, you know, a little bit mental stimulation and impulse control practice. And so, you know, if you put a leash on him in the house and had him practice his sits and his stays and down, and you know, even teach him new things, like if you're going to use a treat, you know, you can just put it down where he can see it in plain sight and say, find it. And well, obviously he's going to find it. It's right there, you know, and then just keep making it harder and harder and have him sit and stay and wait and then find it and then, you know, make it into like a little game. He'd probably like that.
No, anything that comes with food, he will.
Okay. That would be a good way to sort of integrate both training and, you know, something fun and a treat. So that's a trifecta of funness right there.
Okay, but I just needed kind of the reinforcement to stay off the
it's
very tempting with the sun shining now.
Yeah, no, it really isn't worth it because the way in which the weather created that hard crust of ice, it's just too dangerous.
Well, where we have it, the hard crust in the sun has melted, but under the soft snow is the ice from last time.
Right. Yeah. So you're gonna have to test it, and when in doubt, just don't do it. It's not worth it.
Don't do it. Okay.
No.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay. All right. So, as I mentioned earlier, you know, if you don't get into the show in enough time that I can talk to you, which we have somebody on hold right now who's Kevin is giving them my business phone number. But if you want to know what that is, or you want to know what my email is, because you didn't have time to call in today because we've got less than a minute. Just check my website, LoriFastDogTraining.com. A lot of people email me with questions or comments, and I appreciate that. And if I can answer something in an email, I'm more than happy to do it. Sometimes it requires a phone call. And if I can answer something over the phone, I'll do that too. But if I think you're going to need more help, I'll be honest about it. I'll give you some advice to follow. And if that's enough, great. And sometimes it is. But if it's not, well, okay, well, then you're going to have to put a little bit more work into it. And if you need my help, great. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.